Total Tuscany Podcast, number 37. Ciao, and welcome to another edition of the Total Tuscany Podcast. Seems like it's been forever since we've had a chat. I'm Travis Justice, co-publisher of TotalTuscany.com, along with my partner, Mr. Pat Capagna. Where have we been, Pat? Have we been in hiding?
I think we've been busy. High school graduations and life, right?
Yeah, we got back from Tuscany in March, and I don't know if we had too much Tuscany. Is that possible to have too much Tuscany?
I think we were just in Tuscany withdraw. I think that's the problem.
I think you're right. And if you're wondering why we haven't had a Total Tuscany podcast as of late, Pat brings up a good point, because we were a bit depressed when we got back, because we had to get back to our normal lives. We had to catch up on all of our work. And then I think we both thought, well, if we do podcasts, then that's just going to bring back the memory of Tuscany. We're going to want to go back sooner than we can, and that's just going to make us even more depressed. So maybe we're finally out of our depression of having to come home to our real lives.
Right. I think that's exactly it. It's when you come back from that trip, you think, oh, it's going to be so many months before I can go back. Yeah, I'm looking forward to a podcast.
Well, I there's some new stuff on the website that I hope you check out. First of all, follow us on our social media channels. A lot of people have been liking our Facebook page lately, and I appreciate that. Just search Total Tuscany on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at Total Tuscany. We now have an Instagram account, and we've been posting some of our Tuscany pictures and interacting with people on there. But if you go to the website, TotalTuscany.com, go to the podcast section, and there's a drop down, and there's now a video section, and we've been producing some videos from our most recent trip, and you can see some of the experiences that we got to take advantage of, including the Florence Town Tours pizza and gelato making class, the Florence Town Tours Vespa tour throughout Chianti, and also the personal services of Anna Maria Mondofri, who offers a wonderful, wonderful driving and tour service throughout Tuscany.
Absolutely. Everybody that we visited was awesome. But those two especially, the services that they provide, personal service, amazing. Yeah.
And we even have more videos that are going to be popping up every so often. So make sure to keep going back to the website, TotalTuscany.com. One of the great things about our most recent trip is we stayed in Florence. And that's the first time we spent an extended time in Florence. We spent a total of a week in Florence. And I think we appreciate the city more than we ever did before, Pat.
That's right. I had that urge just to sit and absorb and walk, meander, and you start to think back, do I understand this? Do I know this about history? Do I know this about this street? But that overarching desire just to wander and meander and explore that city.
And what we've done before, we would, take the train to Florence, we'd get off, and we'd stay by the Duomo, and we'd stay on that certain side of the river. We never cross go into the Altreno district and go across the Ponte Vecchio to explore, but there's so much there. And I think that was something that makes Florence so unique are really the hidden gems, the unique boutique shops, which we saw many, many of.
Mm-hmm. And they don't necessarily have a fancy storefront.
They don't. And sometimes you don't even know there's a store there.
You have to walk around. You have to explore.
And I do know this, that we did not see it all. But you can begin to experience what it's like to get lost in Florence, shall we say, by our guest today on the Total Tuscany Podcast. Nardia Plumridge is the girl who is lost in Florence. She's got a wonderful blog about the unique spaces where you can find the unique experience you're looking for when you visit Florence. And her blog is lostinflorence.it. Here's Nardia. I guess, first of all, the first question I want to ask, when was the first time you got lost in Florence?
Oh, wow. Well, the concept of lost in Florence isn't literally about getting lost. It's more that idea that, that time you think, oh, should I go down this street? And you think, oh, okay. And you do, and you actually discover the most wonderful adventure you could imagine. So it's about being a little bit more adventurous when you travel and finding those little hidden gems down the back street. So the last time I got lost in that concept, I don't know, I've been doing it for years. I do it on purpose. And I think today with a lot of travelers, when we travel, we kind of want to find that little off the beaten track place or that place where the locals go. So I've always had that kind of curious mind to see what's down that road. So I don't know, it's not a good answer, right? But I've been getting lost for many, many years, happily.
In doing our research to talk to you, Nadia, it sounded like this concept kind of hit you when you were in Madrid. Is that right?
I mean, look, I've been traveling for years, and it was 2011, and I was actually on a 2-month travel fest. I literally one day went, right, who are all the people I miss in the world? I wrote this little list, and I went traveling for 2 months all around the world, from leaving Australia via Dubai. I went to London and Ibiza. I went to Florence. I went to New York. And I ended up in Madrid, actually, too, to see my sister. And she was going to be there with her now husband for a day. But in my typical style, I was thinking, I can't go to a new city in 24 hours. I need 3 days. So I went 2 days before my sister and her, you know, now husband, on my own, and found a fantastic boutique hotel and spent 2 days just sort of getting under the skin of the city. And when she and Michael eventually arrived 2 days later, I kind of felt like I had a bit of a grasp of Madrid, really loved the city. And I said, right, you guys are here for 24 hours. I'm going to take you on a little tour. And so I showed them all these fantastic, what I thought were obviously subjective, but fantastic places I found. So places to eat, drink, you know, shop, go to galleries. And we had this really fun sort of time. And that's kind of when I was on my own before they arrived. I was thinking, you know, with all my research, I couldn't find one place to go to that was sort of dedicated, that was a bit curated as well, where I could find little bits of information of sort of boutique and sort of unique places in a city. So that's kind of where it started. So I basically blame my sister for leaving me in Madrid for 2 days on my own.
Well, you mentioned you've been to Madrid, Dubai, New York. Why did you settle on living in Florence and doing a blog about Florence?
I've had a soft spot for this city ever since I was 15 years old. And the first time I came, I was on a family vacation with my mother, my father, and the same sister. I have another sister, so with my sister Adele. And, you know, I remember by default, it was my 15th birthday, and we were sitting in a trattoria somewhere in Florence. I don't remember where. I remember it was like wood paneled and had that very typical interior decor. And I just remember having this moment of thinking, oh, I really like it here, and one day I'd love to spend more time. And at the point when I was 15, I thought, well, you know, I'll come back one day, maybe for 3 months, learn Italian. I even remember being a 16-year-old girl writing away to one of those companies who send you a brochure of like living in Florence for 3 months and learn Italian. But of course, at that point, I was way too young to go on my own. So it always had a little bit of a, there's always magic dust affiliated with this city for me from a very young age. And so when I got a bit older, I went to London for university, which is a fantastic base if you want to travel around Europe. And so I had many opportunities to come back to Italy as well as Florence. But I guess the main kind of point of that 2011 experience, when I was traveling to all these other places, you know, Florence was always had a bit of a pull. And I kind of just felt like I wanted to spend more time here. I'd left London and I needed to be somewhere. And it felt like Florence was the best place to fulfill all my passions.
How important is it when you're doing this, Nadia, to actually just kind of to meander about and find something that interests you? How do you stumble upon these places?
I mean, I literally do just that. I have a bicycle here in Florence, so I sort of cycle around every day to from one appointment to the next. And so you end up normally taking a little back street to avoid the tourists or avoid the crowds. And then, you know, you notice, oh, there's a new bar that opened or a new cafe or a new gallery. And then I'm the kind of person that will get off my bike, go inside, have a look around, but then actually speak to the owner and say, tell me more about, you know, your project, your concept, or your bar, or whatever it might be. Just out of natural curiosity. I don't know where I get this from, but I still have this massive curiosity after all these years to want to just explore, I guess, is the best term. So, I mean, it's just that. It's about going down the back streets, finding these places. But also what I wanted to do with Lost in Florence was really celebrate and highlight the artisan culture that we have here, which I think is very unique. You know, you have these amazing, both old and young people who are keeping traditions alive, be it, I don't know, bookmaking, could be perfume making, jewelry. It could be in a modern context too, in terms of fashion and style. Or it could be, you know, traditional techniques to produce something traditional. But I think Florence is very unique. I can't think of many cities, I'm not sure if you can think of them either, that have that kind of artisan culture that still remains today, where you literally walk past someone's studio, there's, you know, their workshop, knock on the door and go inside and maybe get them to make you a book or make you a, you know, piece of jewelry or whatever it might be that's literally made with love from, you know, their hand. And isn't necessarily a crazy price either.
I know you have a journalism background, right?
That's correct, yes.
I find that the shop owners, the artisans, are they receptive to talking to you about what's going on and sharing with you their history?
Absolutely, very much. I think they're very proud of what they're doing. And so when someone does show an interest, they're very happy to share. I mean, a lot of the artisans have told me, and one of, again, the concepts of Lost in Florence is to say to people, hey, it's okay, knock on that door, go inside, say hello. is that, you know, some of these people, it is their workshop. So for the artisans, so people walk by and think, oh, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to go in. But actually, they want you to open that door. They want you to come inside. They want to share their studio and their story with you. So I encourage anyone coming to Florence, or if you're living in Florence, to knock on that door, go and say hello, because I've never been kicked out. That's for sure.
I will say this: it's important to ask for permission. I remember we were in the Alto Toronto district, and it was at night, and I saw this artisan, and I just stopped outside his shop to take a picture because he was way back in. He started yelling at me, and he's like, "You got to ask for permission. You don't take my picture. Ask for my permission." Then I walked away, and I came back, and I said, "Can I take your picture?" He's like, "Yeah, go ahead."
Okay, well, that's a really good point, because I'll be honest, I've never taken a picture first. I'm the knock on the door girl and introducing myself, and then maybe later I'm like, oh, would you mind, you know? So that's probably a good point, actually. Just, you know, if you are, don't say hello first.
Yeah.
And then find out about their story and then go, oh, do you mind if I take a photo? I can imagine there probably lots of people going by and, you know, snapping away, and after a while, and maybe it does feel a little bit intrusive. So I think it's always respectful to do that. So that's a good point.
Yeah, we're the rude Americans. We just think we can do whatever we want and start snapping pictures.
Try not to do that again.
Chic, boutique, hidden, and unique places in Florence. Do you still find hidden places that you didn't even know about?
Yeah, no, absolutely, all the time. I mean, look, I do know the city, I feel, pretty well. There's millions of, not millions, that's a lie, there's many places I would love to write about, which I just haven't had the time, that do exist, and there's always new places popping up. So the idea of also Lost in Florence is celebrating the artisan and all these great shops, but it's also a new bar that opens. But the main thing it has, when I say boutique, it means it's independently owned and small. It's not like no disrespect to those big brands, but, you know, big brand kind of thing. What I say hidden just means just not necessarily going to be on the Ponte Vecchio, if you know what I mean, or on those main streets either. I think we want to get off the back streets a bit, and we get a bit excited, don't we, when we find a little place that we think no one else knows, or only a few people know, or at least it's a bit more tranquil. But also say chic, I think, you know, just to have its own kind of quality, if that makes sense. Of, you know, one of my favorite bars in Florence is Amblay. I'm not sure if you guys went there were here in March. If not, I'll take you next time. But for example, that's literally around the corner from Ponte Vecchio, and the chaos of that main street. You've got this little courtyard, and they basically, it's a vintage furniture shop, which literally you can sit on the furniture, have a cocktail, check out the price tag. And if you want to go not only buy a cocktail, you can actually take home that chair with you, literally, too. And things like that, I think, are quite chic and quite fun. So that could be chic as well. It doesn't always mean that you have to, you know, be bling or glamorous. It's just about having your own personal style that's a little bit unique.
So, Nardi, could you highlight a couple of the artisans that you really think are cool, that should be on everybody's map when they're walking around Altreno or wherever?
Okay, so I don't want to offend anyone to leave them out, but the thing, people that come to mind, for example, I'm a huge fan of Betty Soldi, who has this amazing shop called And Company on Via Maggio. And she's just a wonderful woman who's an Italian by birth, spent many years in the UK, and her background is being a calligrapher. She will handwrite, the most amazing handwriting, and does that kind of design, and then with her own kind of graphics. So she has this beautiful shop you can go into. It's like a little magical wonderland of homewares, where she's done all the design on cups and saucers and all sorts of things. And she has also other people's products in her shop. And she's just like a traditional artisan of a modern tilt, making beautiful ceramics or things you can take away, greatest, you know, tourist gifts, or even for a local. And she's just a really good person. She also does wonderful workshops. So if you're ever in Florence, being living here or traveling, if the timings work, you could approach her to do a calligraphy workshop, which is really a fun thing to do. So she's one person that jumps to mind. Let's see. I also love Erin, who has this beautiful bookstore, so completely different, but beautiful old school paper, bounded books on Via de Bardi. And again, I've written about these guys on the website Lost in Florence. If you ever want to have a look, you can find the full details there. But Erin comes from Canada, and she's been here for 10 years. And when she first came, she actually came to train under a master, learning how to make, you know, books the old sort of world way. And she then took over the bookstore, and she is just keeping the traditions alive. You know, you can literally go in and see her working away. She'll make you a bespoke book, leather bound, any kind of, you know, I don't know, whatever detailing you might want. If it's for a gift, you can have it, you know, embossed with names and initials. And there's something beautiful about someone hand making you a product like that. And even with paper, she does it the old way with oil and then the ink on top, and then she lays the paper out, so it gives a marble effect. Yeah, you have to go in and say hello to Erin. Another store I love, completely different, I'm trying to think of different places, is a perfumery called Aquaflor. and it's on Borgo Santa Croce, so just over the river. And basically, Soleno, who is his perfume master, has trained in Cairo, also all around Italy, and he makes these perfumes, and his shop and atelier is just like a world going back 400 years in Florence. You go inside, not only do you smell everything, it's very sensual in that respect, but visually, like the rows of cabinets full of beautiful bottles, the lighting, everything about it is just an experience, in its own. Now, with him, you can even go and buy a perfume off the shelf, or if you have, well, I guess the checkbook, you can actually work with him and create your own bespoke perfume. And I think that's a really unique thing to have if that's what you're into. Do you know what I mean? It's nice to have those kind of benchmarks of saying, well, I can just buy a perfume off the shelf, which is beautiful, but I could also make a one in a million perfume just for me. So there are a couple of that I would recommend if you want some homewares, some books or perfume. But there's many, many more, I have to say, in this beautiful city.
How important is it that people especially cross the river when they go over the Ponte Vecchio? Because in our trips there, we always stayed, you know, we got off at the Santa Maria Novella and we never crossed the river to explore that was in the Altarano district. How important is it that people venture outside where the Duomo is and the Santa Maria Novella and go see what's on the other side of the river?
No, I think it's a really good point. I think it's essential if you have the time. So Florence is a very small city, as you guys know. So I think, you know, try to make the time, even if it's for a couple of hours one evening, to go over, you know, the bridge, be it the Ponte Vecchio or Santa Trinita, the one next door, go into that Altrano area, which is made up of three districts. You've got San Nicolo, Santo Spirito, San Frediano, and just walk down the little back streets between the Pitti Palace and Santo Spirito Piazza. And you'll find those sort of artisan shops, and you will find some beautiful, you know, bars and restaurants. And I think you get more of a feel and more of the true essence of Florence, because the north side's fantastic and has all those iconic buildings like the Duomo, Piazza della Signoria and all that kind of stuff. But it's also very heavily populated. But when you go south, not everyone does. And so I feel that it gives more, like I said, the essence of what Florence is. So I would encourage everyone to do it. Time constraints, you know, of course, can sometimes be otherwise. But yeah, I think it's beautiful. And one of my favorite things when people say, what should I do in Florence? I try to advise, go to the Pitti Palace. I'm not sure if you guys went there when you were here in March. Have you
we
been
did.
There before? Did you go inside?
We skipped the palace, but went to the gardens.
Did you like the Boboli Gardens?
Oh, they're wonderful. They're wonderful, yeah.
Even in, I know March time would have been sort of pre-spring, but still pretty beautiful and extensive nonetheless, and you would have seen a lot of the facade of the palace. But for example, you know, I think it's great to do the Uffizi Academia, and everyone should go and see the David once in their life if that's on the bucket list. But places like the Pitti Palace or even Palazzo Vecchio in the main square are two places I think are fantastic to explore inside. You know, in Pitti Palace you have the state rooms. We literally have in Florence a throne room, much like they have in Buckingham Palace in London, with this red velvet chair and this beautiful red room, you know, where the Medici family, whoever was ruling at the time, would sit there and have people obviously come and, you know, speak to them. And then there's room after room after room of these beautiful, gorgeous, rather over the top in terms of interior decor, state rooms in that palace amongst. And that's just one piece. There's like modern galleries, costume galleries, silver galleries, and the gardens, as you mentioned. So, you know, you could spend a month here. You guys are here for a week. You could spend a month and still have lots of fun things to do, for sure.
Well, how many years have you been there?
Well, I came here in 2010 originally. Well, okay, I've been coming for many, many years, as you know, as a traveler, as, you know, a week here, weekend there, etc. But in 2010, actually, that's when I came for 3 months. So I mentioned before, you know, as my 15-year-old self, I was like, one day I want to go for a summer, which was like 3 months. And I eventually fulfilled that little dream, so sort of 4.5 years ago. So I came in 2010. It was in the autumn, September to sort of end of November. And I came for 3 months. And during that time, I went to the British Institute and learned Italian. I went to the Cecil Studios in San Frediano and did life drawing. I should stress, I'm a terrible drawer, but it was just for the fun of it. And it was during that kind of 3 months, I had that moment of thinking, I really want to remain. I want to come and live here. And that's when it kind of, the seed was sort of firmly set. Or firmly planted. And so pretty much since then, so in 2011 I did some travel which I already had planned, and that 2 month stint I just mentioned before, and then I eventually did come back after that, and then, you know, found the apartment, signed that long-term lease, moved all my stuff over from London. So now here in my apartment in Florence, I have all my books, my music, all the things dear to me. My life is firmly set here. So yeah, I guess I would say from 2010 was the moment it all changed.
I have a question that's a little bit off of the beaten path, Nadia, but Now that you've been there so many years, do you find yourself taking for granted or becoming a little desensitized to all the beauty and the interesting situations and architecture and people and food? Does it become too much normal for you, or are you finding that it still stays the same?
No, I think that's a really good question. I mean, for me, it still stays the same. I mean, I grew up in Australia, so for me, I still have moments cycling on my bike over the bridge of, say, Alexia, looking down the River Arno and seeing the Ponte Vecchio sunset and just having that, like, heart skip a beat moment and think, holy moly, like, I live in Florence. You know, this was that teenage dream of mine. So for me, there's always a moment of gratitude without sounding a little bit too hippie, but I do have that moment of like going, how did I end up here? But it's not a bad problem to have, you know? So no, for me, I'm still the curious mind that I have is still wanting to go down different back streets, is still wanting to try new restaurants or try new food, you know, all that kind of stuff. I don't know. My passion for the city and for Italy feels, if anything, more enamored as opposed to kind of desensitized, as you said. So I can see, though, to be fair, how people could come here and after a year or two of those rose-tinted glasses, you know, there's little things that can gripe you about life in any city, but for me, you know, the pros outweigh the cons. And so yeah, I feel very grateful to have this pretty fabulous life.
You know, people are probably wondering, what do you do? Is it just the blog? Do you have a job? How do you make it in Florence?
No, I do. Look, my primary sort of work is writing. You know, my background is as a journalist, and I do travel and food writing now. So I work for a lot of magazines in Australia, the UK. I do some stuff in America too. So that's kind of my bread and butter. It goes hand in hand 100% with the website Lost in Florence. So, you know, by discovering things through that, I can write about it for other people and vice versa. You know, there's a nice synergy. And so that kind of keeps me going. And then there's other work. You know, I do other sort of corporate work, so to speak, not corporate, but, you know, someone needs sometimes someone to write, you know, their website words, that kind of ghostwriting. So people like myself might do that. Yeah, and I work for, like I said, for a number of magazines. So that's kind of my main bread and butter. And then the website, though, has been really interesting because it really was a project of passion and still is. It was never about commercializing. You'll see there's no adverts on there. Everyone I write about, I write from my heart. It's not a paid-for site. People don't buy into that space. I want the content to be very clean and very pure and, you know, curated. But what's been interesting, I think because of that, I've had a lot of people now approach me to do either writing for them or other work. So if by default, it was not the plan, it's kind of become a portfolio for me online and it's opened a lot of doors. So that wasn't part of the strategy because there was no strategy, but it's been a very positive outcome for work on that level.
We have been concentrating a little bit on Florence, and that's where we spent most of our time this last trip. Seems like a lot of our podcasts are coming directed toward Florence. It's not really intentional. It's just kind of we're drawn there. But would you talk a little bit about some other towns, some of the hilltop towns, or maybe it's not a hilltop town that you find just fascinating within a day's trip of Florence for the listeners that kind of go in keeping with the blog?
Yeah, okay. Oh, that's a good one. I mean, look, in Tuscany, we are really spoiled. We have so many amazing hilltop towns. I mean, my advice would be, and it depends, again, always on time. I really appreciate people have time constraints when they travel. But there's a couple of some obvious ones, and then there's some more less obvious. But with the less obvious, you need a car. So you would need to hire a car, get out of Florence, and then drive around for the day. One of my favorite towns in Tuscany is Cortona. Have you guys been there?
No.
Okay, well, next time you come, let's go for the day because it's really beautiful. It's south east of Florence. Beautiful medieval hilltop town. Just imagine, you know, it's everything you imagine. Actually, for most people, if you've seen the film Under the Tuscan Sun, it's set around Cortona and all the village scenes are set in that town. But it doesn't have major transport links, and so you don't get the wealth of people like you get in Siena or those kind of places. And it's a bit too far, so it's not, you know, it's not as busy. So that's somewhere that's kind of great. Another town I love is called Pienza, and it's just south of Montepulciano, and it's famous for its cheese. They do an amazing pecorino cheese there. And it's a very small town. Again, you need a car, so it's off the beaten track a little bit more. But if you like, you know, medieval towns and cheese, it's definitely, you know, I think something worth recommending. Another town, if you love wine, is Montalcino. So everyone knows of Montepulciano, which you've probably heard of, and they do the Brunellos and all those great wines. Well, very near that is a smaller town called Montalcino. And again, they do amazing wines. Smaller, has a little sort of kind of castle area. There are a couple that just spring to mind, but honestly, I could write you a list of like a dozen easily in a second that'd be worth doing, from Certaldo to, I don't know, I love Volterra. I don't know if you've been to Volterra either, which is just west of Florence, about an hour and a half. A beautiful, again, hilltop medieval town, famous for its alabaster, which is kind of part of the marble family, and there's lots of workshops there that produce all these amazing little trinkets made from this white kind of marble-esque material. They've got Etruscan ruins, you know, Roman ruins. And it was also, apparently, if anyone's a Twilight fan, Stephanie Myers, when she wrote her second book, New Moon, I think it's called, from memory, actually was so inspired by the city of Volterra when she did a book signing that she wrote that town into that book. So sometimes you get lovely people who are, you know, very passionate about Twilight coming to Volterra just to see where Bella and Edward kissed. They didn't actually do it because they're fictional characters, but, you know, they run around finding the alleyway where it happened. And I know the alleyway, so if you ever want to know, write to me and I'll tell you where to find it.
Do you do like personal tours or anything like that, that if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, do you do personal tours?
Yeah, I mean, look, I always say to people, I mean, I know a lot of people in Florence who do all sorts of tours. So, for example, if you to write to me, I could happily put you in touch with the right people. I do some work with people, like doing lots of shopping tours and or at least doing private itineraries and that kind of thing that are more the off-the-beaten-track stuff. But I've got friends who are, you know, art historians who can do private tours for you, you know, around whatever gallery. Even, again, it could be the Uffizi Academic, there could be San Marco, it could be the Bargello or something different. I've got friends who are also food sort of tour guides. So, again, if you're a real foodie, I could put you in touch with really great people who can give you a really unique, bespoke experience in the city. So, yeah, it's definitely something I could help out with. So if people are interested, feel free to write in, and I'm happy to put them in touch with some of the best people in the business.
LostInFlorence.it is the website. Nardia, you've been great. I appreciate all your time, and we look forward to meeting you in person.
Yes, please. Next time you're here, let me know. I'll give you a personal little Lost In tour. We can do some fun little shops and cafes, and have to finish on Prosecco somewhere. That's the only requirement. You have to bring Prosecco with me.
Excellent. It sounds fun, and we look forward to our next visit and meeting you in person. What's great, Pat, is that having just been to Florence, we can appreciate everything Nardia is saying, because we're starting to really know the area better than I think we ever thought we were going to.
Well, you feel so comfortable there after you've been, but she's spot on. I can't wait to go back now with the advantage of knowing her and taking a look at one of those maps and exploring even more deeply than we have before. Yeah.
You know, everybody that we've talked to here on the Total Tuscan podcast is so sincere. You go to their website, especially Nardia's, who you can reach at LostInFlorence.com. IT. They have a contact email right there. They're more than willing to answer your question, because they know that people are passionate about travel. They're passionate about Italy. They're passionate about Tuscany, and they're passionate about Florence. When you're getting ready to travel, don't be afraid to reach out to Pat or myself. You can reach us on our website, TotalTuscany.com, or even the people we interview. Feel free to reach out to them, because they have answers you are looking for and can offer some great advice. And if they can't find it, they can certainly find it for you. Just remember, traveling to Tuscany is fun, and it's also something you should do sooner rather than later. Make sure to follow Total Tuscany on our Facebook page, Total Tuscany, on Twitter, at Total Tuscany, and now on Instagram. You can see some of our great pictures that we've taken throughout our travels throughout Tuscany. And check out our videos and more podcasts at TotalTuscany.com. For Pat Campagna, I'm Travis Justice. Make sure to have a great week and live each and every day like you're in Tuscany. Talk to you next time.